myself that took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas, they get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR football show. We've branched out, no more small balls. So, Conan, you can relax. You should see Stevie. Stevie's back, everybody. So it's great. It's great to see your face. The fear on Conan's face when we join the two podcasts together and I bring up a hurling talking point. He's like, oh, shit.
Is it that he doesn't want to speak about it?
Doesn't want
knows,
any part of
knows
it.
Nothing about
a little
it.
Bit of both. One has a knock-on effect.
I'd be
other.
The same, maybe.
Sean McGahalpin, I could talk away about him, but then Willie told me he's not playing anymore for Cork, so we were struggling with it.
Yeah, for quite a while.
So, lads, this is a league preview, and I've saying the same thing on the Hurling Show. They're really difficult shows to do, but first I want to talk in general about the league this year, and because obviously we've got a whole new championship structure this year, right? So everything's condensed. So we've got April, they're going back to the club. We've got teams playing two matches in January, then you're guaranteed 7 matches in February, March, then you're guaranteed 2 in the summer. Now, obviously, we're going to get into the championship restructures and what we'd like, but this is the new season that we're dealt with. And this is the same question I asked in the Hurling Show. Is the league being marginalised now? Because you're going to finish the league. The momentum from the league is not going to carry through because you're disappearing in April going back to your clubs. So it's almost like you start all over again with a new championship. And it's like, is a huge focus on the league really that important now?
Yeah, well, one question that I would ask is, are the county managers really going to release the players to the clubs in April?
No.
Let's be honest.
Well,
I can't see it happening. So, you know, we might have a talking point in about 2 or 3 months' time in relation to this, but I really can't see that that's going to be the case. And I know if I was a county manager, I would almost be reluctant at that, you know, crucial stage of the season, just before the championship kicks off, to free up my players as well. So you can understand two sides of the coin here.
What they're going to do, and again, if you listen to Hurling Show, we said this again, it's not going to be, you're not going back to play with your club. It's going to be, say you've got a hamstring strain. You know what I mean? It's going to be like, you know, tell the physio to write you a note to say that you're not. Because this is the other thing, Stevie, and you're a big Killeavy man, and Conan, you played at club level. You haven't played at county level. But at county level, you're just tunnel vision. Like, I was a huge club man when I was with Portlaoise. Like, I mean, I was obviously ended up leaving them, but that's neither here nor there, because people will be saying that listening. But when I was playing with Portlaoise, I was a huge club man. That Portlaoise was really important to me. But when I was playing with Laois under Mick O'Dwyer, and it was all about Laois. Portlaoise was a nuisance to me. I didn't really want to go back playing matches with them, not during the season. When that was over, I was delighted to get back into club action, and it take you a little while to re-immerse yourself into the club. But this idea that you'll play the league, and then before a Leinster Championship or a Munster Championship, Connacht Championship, you're heading off to play league games, the chance of getting injured, the chance of getting a box in the nose, you know what I mean? You don't need that.
Exactly, and it's quite difficult to explain that to a club player.
Yeah.
You know, only county players can actually relate to what you've just said, and I can totally relate to it. I know in my time at Armagh, I was totally, totally focused on what I wanted to achieve with Armagh, but I always wanted to play with Cleavey when the time was right.
Yeah.
You know, only when the time was right. But Armagh and Cleavey were obviously the two big teams. But, you know, you have to give serious commitment when you're with your county team.
Mentally as well.
Absolutely. And there's no denying the fact that, you know, club teams are limited in relation to the time that they get their county players, both on the training field and during match time. So I would say it's not to the fault of the players, but certainly some players act up on it. There's no doubt about it. I know from my point of view, when there was an opportunity to play football for Cleavey, I jumped at the chance. I loved playing football matches, so I did. But, you know, realistically, when I was with Armagh, almost the full focus was there.
And it had to be. And Conan, would you resent that attitude from Stevie as a club player, for him to say, if he was to be honest with the club lads and say, lads, give me a break here. Armagh have a great chance this year. I don't want to get injured. I need all my focus to be on that. Mm. If you were to hear that from him, what would your reaction to that be?
I wouldn't resent it at all. And I was just going to ask, would the club really be pulling in the other direction, especially for April? Like, you know, I wouldn't care if Stevie's going to miss her first three league games.
Yeah.
And you know, like, we're all still mates. Like, we grew up with these boys. And actually what happens, especially clubs that I've been in, is that the players miss playing for the club. So it's not like, you know, they're finally getting away from me and stuff. They want to be there and training. A lot of them come down and watch. It's tough on them as well. They just don't have the option of playing both. But especially now that it's in April that they're allowed to be free, I think it sort of rolls it out anyway, because our club manager is going to be pulling them back so viciously.
Yeah, I think the important message is that players at all levels, regardless club or county, that they're getting regular football games. They're getting game time, so they are. Going back to my point of view as well, I retired from Armagh simply on the basis that I wanted to commit, when I could still play at a high and decent level, to Cleavey for one or two seasons.
Right.
So that was my way of, right, I've been freed up to Armagh for the last 13, 14 seasons. Now I'm giving you back something in return. That was my way of thanking the club, but giving them, you know, a couple of good seasons. Do I regret my decision? Absolutely not. You know, I'm glad I retired from the county when I did retire, and I'm glad that I committed to the club for two playing seasons when I did.
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing, and it's a weird one that Duffy came out with this April for clubs, and it's going to open up such a can of worms, because now the talk is, he's talking during the week, I didn't really want to get him onto the show because he's heading off now, so quizzing him about stuff now is just, it's a waste of time. Yeah. It's the new director general we want to get onto the show, you know, as soon as he gets appointed. But it was like, this April for clubs, now he's talking about you can train with the county but you just play the league games at the weekends, and I don't know, like, I mean, like, me and Stevie are clearly saying this, and any inter-county player will say this, the club is a nuisance while the county's going on, right? So stop mingling them around and let one end and let another one start. And I can't stress, you know, how strongly players would feel about it. And these are even some of the players that love their club, like, yeah. I mean, you still can love your club but not want it to ruin your chances of playing in Croke Park in a Leinster Championship by potentially getting injured. But I just wanted to talk about this league, lads, because it's so, we've all talked about how important this league is to a lot of teams, and it's the GAA's best competition in my mind by a mile. Every county except for the big three will be taking this league really, really seriously. The big three will sleepwalk into this league. Like, I mean, you look at Mayo, Dublin and Kerry. They're almost guaranteed to be in the championship in August, right? So they've already got, if they're in it till the mid-August, they've got 8 months if they start back in January, right? So they're starting back in January. The league starts in February. They're not fully fit. They're only back in together. But they're strong enough to maybe maintain their Division 1 status and not have to worry about it. Maybe not make knockouts. We see Mayo just avoiding relegation the last couple of seasons. Then you have everybody else, and everybody else is back training since October, and they are hitting this league hard. They're hitting this league hard. So because everybody else won't be in the championship in the Super 8s, most of them, only 8 will, so their season starts from October until maybe the end of June. So that's their 8 months. So everybody, like, in the same competitions, different counties have different 8 month stretches of hard work. Isn't it a weird dynamic?
Yeah, well, I suppose the best teams can afford to, I suppose, be more reserved going into the league as well, and with the knowledge that they are going to be playing more than likely in August, you know, take probably something dramatic that the likes of Mayo, Dublin and Kerry aren't playing football in August, and I can't see it happening. It hasn't happened too often over the last number of years, so it's... I really can't see that it's going to be the case in 2018. So, and it's particularly this year with the Super 8s coming in as well. So, you know, they're going to be playing regular football at that time. So they can prepare themselves and gauge, you know, how they train and get them trying to peak around August time as well, more so than...
That's the thing. The peaking thing is interesting, Stevie and Conan, because when do you peak fitness-wise now? Like, I mean, and this why, again, I think the league might be slightly marginalised, because... Now you've got the 6 weeks in April, you're going back to your clubs. So when are you looking to peak? You're definitely not looking to peak at the end of bloody March. Like, I mean, that would be madness, because you peak physically and you peak in a footballing sense where, you know, everything starts coming together on the field. You don't want that in March. Like, a lot of the time managers are terrified when they see the peak, because they're like, oh, this peak is too early. Yeah. Oh, no. But, like, I mean, will teams, even the teams that want to take the league seriously, can you peak at the end of March? disappear for 6 or 7 weeks and then hope to peak again in June, which the Galways, the Kildares, all these teams that want to get into the Super 8s are going to have to be peaking again in June?
Well, I think each individual is different, and the fitness levels required and the athleticism of the players nowadays, it shouldn't take them that much training and that long in terms of weeks to get them to a level, a base level of fitness that they're able to compete at a high level. The thing for managers is trying to get all 30 players or 20 players at least peaking to a level that their performance will be enhanced as well at the same time, and it's trying to gauge, you know, when the right time for their particular team is. And a lot of the times I would be saying, from an Ulster point of view, I was always trying to be at my best, and I know my teammates are always trying to be at their best come June, because that's the time when we have to go and win competitive championship games.
Yeah.
So, you know, gradually, if you can win your first round game, you gain confidence, so you go into your Ulster semi-final with more confidence, and you can see there's a peak gradually gaining momentum as the season goes on.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Ross Common's year in 2016 or Ross Common's year in 2017?
See, that's such the confusing thing, because we look at Ross Common, and it does, even because there's such a separation now, and because this year you're going back to your club, so your focus disappears from county for maybe 3 or 4 weeks for some players. Other players will make up the injuries. So is a bad league, has no psychological impact going into the championship. So, like, I mean, again, this is why I'm worried that the league might just become another big pre-season kind of competition, where you do the pre-season competition and then you go back to your clubs and then you hit the big one. You know, because look at Donegal, had a disastrous championship last year, or had a brilliant league, had a disastrous championship. Roscommon had a disastrous league, had a good championship. There's no correlation, there's not the same correlation. Now, obviously, Dublin and Kerry and these teams, they'll be good in both because they're just the best teams. Yeah. But, like, I mean, there's evidence there to say that not having a good league has absolutely no bearing on how you're going to do in the championship.
Which is funny now, because all you ever hear is teams wanting to get to Division 1 and test themselves at that standard.
They're sound bites, aren't they, really? I wonder, does it
I'm
mean anything?
I'm not too sure they are. I think the top 8 teams want to be recognised and seen as a top 8 team, and therefore, by playing Division 1 football, most of the majority of supporters would say, right, well, they are one of the top marquee teams, and that's the level that you have to get. I know I would love not more than for Armagh to be in playing in Division 1 at the minute, because they're getting tougher games.
But look at this then. Look at Roscommon and Cavan last year then. They got this holy grail of Division 1, ended up getting the shit knocked out of them, ended up getting relegated. And, you know, Cavan obviously didn't have a good championship, Roscommon did, so it's hard to actually analyse too much into it. But sometimes for counties that aren't quite good enough, like, I mean, I see Meath always saying, we want to get to Division 1. Meath would be hammered in every game in Division 1. Kildare and Galway have more of a chance because they're potentially, you know, on that cusp of being a really good team. But, like, other counties hoping for that Division 1. Like, I mean, be careful what you hope for.
But it goes back to what you said about the 8 months and sort of what 8 months are you going to use, where teams are going at it from October, other teams are going at it from January. Roscommon, in their first year in Division 1, they got up and it was great and they really hit it and they got to the semi-final and they were flying. But then this year, is it fair to say that last year they just let it go and said, right, we need to have a better championship because nobody gives a shit come June. I know what you're saying, Stevie. It would be great to be a Division 1 team, but maybe, like, Roscommon let that go in favour of a championship.
And look, you look at Kerry's year last year. How would you analyse Kerry's year last year? And I would say Kerry's last year was a bit of a disaster. Yeah, they were humiliated by Mayo.
That's analysing it from a Kerry point of view. If it was another county,
they won the league.
It was a fantastic campaign.
Yeah, that's true, because it's all relative. But it's even like it's relative in Division 2 as well. Mm-hmm. For Kildare, so they got promoted to Division 1. They ended up getting beaten by Armagh disappointingly in Croke Park. When you were looking back in their year, I don't know. Like, I'd say that's fairly disappointing.
I would
still
say Kildare made progress last year. You know.
You sound like Keane O'Neill now.
No, but they certainly did make progress.
Based on
the year before, you wouldn't have seen them as contenders last year. I think this time last year we were writing them off, and we wouldn't have been tipping them for Division 2. So I understand what you're saying, you know, in terms of teams going up there and maybe resigning to the fact that they're going to drop back down to Division 2. But I think the better teams, the likes of Tyrone or whatever, maybe it's not all about going to win National League Division 1, but going to be competitive in that division and making sure that they avoid the drop, you know, so that they can consistently on a yearly basis play competitive football at a higher standard, which will ultimately prepare them for championship.
I definitely think it's interesting, and I definitely think that this new club thing in April could potentially throw a new dynamic on the league, and unfortunately because of that separation might relegate the league to lesser kind of status. I hope not, because it's a great competition and I'd love to see it happen during the summer. Quickly, lads, the new kick out rule, because this is another thing we're going to see this year, and like, I mean, we all know the new structure's in and the championship's just going to be a lot more intense and played off on nearly every weekend, and this is going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be a great championship. Wouldn't be the championship I would choose, but it's going to be definitely an improvement. The new kick out rule, obviously, we had the Kerry goalkeeper kicking it out over the end line, which I just thought it was the optics just looked terrible, where goalkeepers were kicking it back to the end line to a corner back. Now it has to go outside the 20. So you take it from the 13, has to go outside the 20. The same 13-metre rule applies. You have to be away from ball 13, but it has to go forward. Now, Conan, give me the doomsday scenario of how this is going to ruin the game.
I actually played a game on it last week like that, and...
Well,
you can't really hide anymore as much. Like, you know, there's a, I don't know, it's only 13 metres, but it's, or 20 or 21 metres. But so it's a much smaller area. It's 21 metres gone. The cornerback can't just go take a handy ball. So everybody out there, then they're easily, more easily picked up, because the forwards can just wait on them to come out. And then you have to be on the move, or you have to win the ball. Yeah. So it is actually, you know what? Having sampled one game of it, I'm thinking, yeah, it's tougher for players, but it could be a good scenario, because you have to move and get it or win your own duel.
Well, the smaller teams will still be looking to create a lot of space in that area. That means pushing forwards further up the field, which would suggest that it's going to be a more attacking way of playing if they actually gain possession of the ball. So I think what will happen is teams will push further up the field. The space will still be there for defenders or midfielders to manoeuvre themselves around their area. Like, Stephen Cluckson's still going to find 95% of his kickouts to a Dublin player. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it encourages teams to be more proactive in terms of attacking.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a good thing, and we should embrace these changes. Right, because it's the first show of the year, lads, I have a little quiz for you before we move into the league preview. You have to explain to me what each of these things are, because they're all new on me. What is a triple transition scoring game?
Basketball bullshit.
Do you know?
A triple transition scoring game.
Yes.
Triple transition scoring game.
No.
Triple.
Is this GAA terminology or?
It's supposed to be GAA terminology. I'll give you another one. Multiple restart transition game. No?
Is this
no
coaching idea?
This has got to be coming from John Morrison's book of coaching, is it?
But wait, there's more. Drop down and drive transition game. No? No? Okay, there's more. Kick and transition game, which is not very exciting when you compare to drop down and drive transition game. Run it or kick it transition game. Now, I think I can make sense of that one. Run it or kick it transition game. And then this one is last, but by no means least, the blast off transition game.
What magazine or book did you get this off from?
This is from the Stephen Poacher rule book of coaching.
Please, don't even go there.
Your buddy, one of your rivals on the sideline, Stephen Poacher, this was a tweet, and this was in Joe Brawley's piece last week in the Irish Independent. Looking forward to delivering a pitch session based on developing offensive transition play this Saturday at 11:30 a.m. in Skerry's Harps Club. Here is a list of games I will be presenting. And this was the list of the transition games that he was going to be developing. Now, I'm out of the game maybe 6 years, the intercounty game. I had no clue what any of this
maybe listen, you're still involved in some capacity. I'm involved in the sideline as well, but a lot of that there, you know, I would say actually some of the games would be fun to participate in, there's no doubt about it, but trying to explain the names of the games to players, you would see that they'd be lost quite soon. But
yeah.
Yes, we have a rivalry on the sideline, but by all accounts, Stephen Poacher's a decent coach. So
yeah, he's done well for Carlo, and I don't want to completely. It's only a bit of fun here, but at the same time, it's Joe Brawley called it gobbledygook, and it is gobbledygook, and it might impress some club members that don't know really what they're talking about. But if you come to me with that kind of old nonsense and jargon, I'm just going to say, here, buddy, come back to me and speak in GAA. Talk to me here. Yeah. Let's tell me what you're actually doing here, because to be honest with you, it's gobbledygook. Right, we'll be back and take a look at the league. Dearie, great to finally get to interview you.
Yeah? Oh, really, yeah.
why
is it great?
Why do you not do many interviews?
I don't know, really. I haven't been asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And I know we spoke about the defensive side of things. If you're coming in and you want to be, if you want to be the Woolly Parkinson and just play for myself, and an inter-county corner forward isn't just hatching inside either. Unfortunately for you, Woolly, it won't last forever. You can ask ex-players that. You can ask you know that yourself, Woolly.
Yeah, mine never started at all.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there.
Is it fair to say, lads, this Division 1 is the most exciting division we've had in a long time? Because no disrespect to Roscommon and Cavan, we've gotten rid of them, and we've in their place we've brought in Kildare and Galway, who in my eyes are two of the teams that are ready to take the step up. Now, you could say Roscommon
hammered Galway last year,
beat Galway in the final. I don't know, I just think if Galway play Roscommon 10 times, I think Galway win it 7. I'm going to sound like Paul Merson saying I really do.
This is because he only has 2 more years left for Galway to win the All Ireland.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that back up.
Well, I'm certainly staying on this podcast until we get to that stage.
So, like, I mean, this is the thing. It's an incredibly competitive division because, like, I mean, like I said, Galway and Kildare are the new kids on the block. Usually the teams that come up from Division 2 are the favourites to go down, and Galway and Kildare are the favourites to go down. But Galway and Kildare will have been training solid since October because they want to prove themselves. They want to say we deserve to be at this top table. We're going all out for this. Newbridge is a horrible place to go to, and Salt Hill is a horrible place to go to. So there are mitigating factors in both of these teams' favours that they can, you know, they can take points off a young Donegal. They can take points off a Kerry who've got a whole load of injuries and who are going to give younger lads, they can take points off Monaghan. So it's not a foregone conclusion who goes down out of this.
Absolutely not. And when you look at Galway in particular, you know, they've got a good track record against the likes of Tyrone, Kerry, Mayo.
Yeah, so they're a traditional county.
Yeah, they won't fear playing those teams and they'll actually embrace it. So you would imagine that Galway probably will be a team that should survive Division 1 this year. I think they are a good, exciting team to have a look at playing against the better teams in the country. Kildare will probably find it a wee bit more difficult, but they are a good team and have made good progress over the last couple of seasons, so it'll be a good challenge for Cian O'Neill on his side, but definitely one that they can, you know, I suppose, live up to the hype of as well and go and put in performances too.
Yeah, we'll start with Dublin, lads, because, like, I mean, they're obviously the league champions, defending Ireland champions. They were away on holidays in January.
Kerry league champions?
Or Kerry league champions, sorry. Dublin won 4 of the last 5. But thanks for correcting me there. It would have been absolutely lynched. Dublin only have 3 away games, lads. So they have 4 in Croke Park. So it's a huge help to them. They'll sleepwalk. If you're going to catch Dublin, you want to catch them early. You want to catch them in round 1, 2 and 3 before they start getting their fitness. I know they won't lose too much fitness. They have Tyrone, Mayo and Galway, like I was saying. Now, all the talk with Dublin is last year, Niall Scully played championship, and Conor Callaghan, 2 new faces, fresh faces in the forward line. I'm not sure who these new faces are going to be this year. There's a lot of talk of Brian Howard. You know, he plays centre back, he played corner back in the Auburn Cup. Like, I mean, is there a place up for grabs in that back line?
He came on midfield in, I think, in the Leinster final as well, so he's obviously
he's a bit of an all rounder. Like, you've Paddy Small, you've a fella Aaron Byrne. Are these
Is there the need for the starting 15 of Dublin to be changed dramatically, or even 1 or 2 tweaks in it?
They need the fear of it though, don't they?
Yeah, but and they will always have the fear of it when Jim Gavin's the manager.
Yeah.
But I think the likes of Conor Callaghan coming in last year and having the season that he did certainly re-energised and brought something different to the party in terms of their forward line. It certainly put the likes of Bernard Brogan, players they got there, you know, to the pin of their collar, Paul Flynn, another player. So that they would be the players that I'd be saying, you know, are still the backup players, still the players that you're going to call on to win the big matches. And I don't think that Jim Gavin really needs to tweak his team too much, because they're a team that, you know, can perform at that level for a number of years.
The way Dublin are going to go now is that they'll give 4 or 5 lads a game during the league. The 4 or 5 lads are going to be great players. They're going to play well during the league. So the older lads that are looking at this going, shit, when I get back in here now, I need to perform. Exactly. So then the older lads are back in the championship thinking, these lads did really well, I can't drop off, because I know now, while as last year there wasn't an obvious replacement for me, there is this year. And I think maybe that's how Jim Gavin plays this game. During the league, he'll give these lads a run, show the older lads, these lads are really good, watch yourself.
Yeah, but even without the young lads, they still have those options that they were using throughout the year. Like, Lyons was obviously in and out, and Scully was in and out. Paul Flynn, Dear McConley didn't even play the championship last year. So even without sort of introducing young ones. And I think you're right, like Paddy Small's probably the one yeah. that you'd be looking at, like given the scoring stats he was racking up for Ballymun. But
I'd say Connolly will be like a new signing this year.
Yeah, he'd be fresh again. But like, yeah, so they still have that ability to, as you talk about fear, they'll still have that fear because they don't know who the starting team is just yet.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So Kerry are away to Dublin, waiting to hear this, away to Mayo, away to Tyrone, and away to Monaghan. Add to the fact that they have a staggering 19 players through injury, was in the reported in the Irish Examiner, and added to the fact that they're going to give a lot of young lads a run, because let's be honest, they're in transition, they need to see these fellas, because Fitzmaurice saw a few during the league last year but didn't use all that many in the Championship. So like, I mean, you could almost make an argument to say Kerry could struggle in this league.
I don't think they will.
You don't?
They've won what, three of the last three All-Ireland minors, have they?
Yeah, no, they have. But wait and you hear this. The Tadhg Morley, Killian Young, Peter Crowley, Thomas Sullivan, David Moore, Donica Walsh, Johnny Buckley and Kieran Donaghy are all struggling.
Yeah, all players that are regular starting 15 players, but they've got quality coming through.
No, they do.
You know, they certainly have quality coming through, and you don't win three All-Irelands on the back of having poor teams. You know, and yes, they're a team in transition, but they've got the youth and exuberance that will break through and fear absolutely nobody. So they won't. So I think, you know, they'll maybe finish mid-table in Division 1, but they won't get relegated.
You don't think so? What do you think, Conan? It's like, I mean, it's a big step up for all these lads. You've got David Clifford, who hasn't turned 19 yet.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that is a big, big kind of thing. You know, like, he's very young, he's brilliant. You have Sean O'Shea, who's going to get a run. These are very young lads. Then you have the Thomas Sullivans, the Brian O'Bioglock, you know, I hope I pronounced that right, these lads who we've seen a little bit but weren't really good enough to get onto the team. Now, I know Kerry's a good team, but if you're an like, David Clifford won't wait a couple of years to get on a Kerry team because he's brilliant.
He'll
but like a lot of these defenders, though, like, they haven't been able to push the Killian Youngs out, the Peter Crowleys out, and these lads out. So like, I mean, I can only talk for myself and Stevie, for you, while you were still under 21 with a year to go under 21, you were making the Armagh team. The good players, I always think, don't have to wait till they're finished under 21
yeah.
to get onto the team. If you're the good players, like, I mean, I don't know if these lads are those top level players. If they,
well, David Clifford is.
David Clifford is. No, absolutely. I use yeah. him example as yeah. he is. Now Sean O'Shea could be, but as I'm talking about some of these defenders. O'Bioglock has been around 2 years now, hasn't staked a claim. Mm. Thomas Sullivan was in and out of the team last year. I was had hopes for him to be this attacking wing back. Didn't really work out for him in the Championship last year. I don't know. Like, I mean,
but like, is the second season not going to be important yeah. for these boys as well?
Exactly,
especially
yeah.
like Jack Savage, who was so good in the league and then just didn't have that most amazing Championship. So he's got another year under his belt. I definitely don't think they're going to get relegated. They might. I don't think they'll be lighting up either. Were they not one of the teams last year as well that could have got relegated but got into the top two at the
end? Yeah, it got very tight last year. Yeah,
exactly.
And when they need to, they'll just sort of ramp it up. Like, and I think Clifford will have a good league because he's that sort of player. He's a once in a generation player. But it's funny because I think they're playing Donegal first at home, and I know you said like young Donegal, but Donegal will be my dark horses here for the league. Like, I just think they've got a new manager in who's done really well underage. They had enough players sort of show their hand last year. No, it didn't end well for them, but I'm sort of thinking Donegal might be in the final of this league. Like, it's sort of going to go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. I think Donegal will go well in the league, that we mention him. And Eamon Fitzmaurice says this game will be interesting at the weekend because there'll be a lot of the minors from 2014 mm-hmm. on both sides, which played in the All-Ireland final 2014. But like, I mean, Donegal, the talk out of Donegal is that they're going to go more direct.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I hope that they will go more direct. They've got the players.
Yeah, Declan Bonner said it. He says the long diagonal ball into the square might have gone out of the game a little bit in recent years with the running game, but today you saw it can be a dangerous option. Yeah. And Paddy McBrearty
and Michael Murphy, that's what I'd be playing inside and let players come in and play off them. Odor McNeilish is back for them this year. He's going to be
three huge forwards.
Nathan Mullins.
Exactly. So, you know, they are going to be a threat this year, and definitely with the way that Declan Bonner is coming out and suggesting and the way he would think, you know, we would expect to see a more attacking Donegal team. So when you've got players of that calibre up front, you utilise it so you do. And I would love to see Michael Murphy and Paddy McBurney play inside and just see how they can develop as a partnership and see the scores come off them, because they would create absolute havoc.
Leo McLoone is back this year as well, lads. Like, and you know, he's not like a world beater, but he's a good solid intercounty player, and
he's a good solid worker.
Like, so, I mean, so like, I mean, they have a good team, Donegal. Yeah. I think you're right, Conan. I think I don't think the championship was a fair reflection on Donegal last year, and I think that this year you will see a much, much improved Donegal.
And even with the bad championship, you still had boys like Kieran Thompson sort of show his hand and like think, Jesus, boys, quality. Like McGee came through, like Owen Van Gallagher. Like, you know, they still had performances where you thought, right, these boys can play for Donegal.
Stephen McBrearty will have a good year this year too. He's an excellent player.
And there's that, it's that old, I still remember Derry going to play Armagh, you won't thank me for this, 2011. And Armagh were favourites to win. Yeah. Derry weren't going well. But I remember, like, I had been watching Rocky the night before or something, and there was a comment saying a puncher always has a chance, and Derry had that really good full forward line where it was Lynch, Gilligan and Owen Bradley, and they all scored a goal. Like, so, like, I know you're rolling your eyes now, Willie's not talking about Derry, but
in Division 1 we haven't even moved on to 3 yet. I wasn't even going to discuss them in
Division
3.
Forgot we were in 3.
I get the point that puncher has a chance. If you've got that potency inside, you've always got an opportunity to win any game. And Donegal have it if those players are allowed to play inside and ball is delivered into them.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Donegal are a huge talking point. There's a lot of interesting teams for different reasons in that Division 1. It's an outstanding division. Quickly on Mayo, lads. Mayo used 30 players in last year's league. They found no one. Back to the championship, they were back to their same 15. I would be of the opinion that Mayo will try lads in the league again this year and they'll find no one. But Mayo are still huge contenders for the All-Ireland because their first 15 is an outstanding 15 still, and the age profile isn't that high outside of Andy Moore, and they still have that heart and that drive, and they'll be back again this year. But this was a quote from Chris Barrett I thought was interesting, and why I won't be putting any money on Mayo for the league and where they could struggle in the league. He says, in terms of the league, I think it's next to impossible for Mayo to target the league and really focus on winning it, especially after getting to an All-Ireland final the previous year. You go on holiday in January, you don't get back until the second week of January, and it really is only then you can start training in earnest. Add to the logistic issues, which Mayo have bloody 18 in Dublin, with a third of the squad in Dublin during the week, and you can see why targeting the league is something that will be tough for us. So forget about Mayo being contenders in this league, lads. Let's be honest, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's just too difficult for them to
and there's
to
a good bit of honesty coming out there as well. And Mayo, I would say, you know, based on the last couple of seasons, are one of the top teams. They've got a serious maybe 17, 18 players, but as you say, you know, who is the key forward that they need to find, and where is he? Because that's maybe the difference in them becoming All-Ireland champions and
see,
failing.
Well, now, I'd have to pull you up on that, because you've Andy Moran's player of the year. So like, they have that special forward. Killian O'Connor like is a top notch forward. Dermot O'Connor is. McLaughlin's coming off a brilliant year. I think that Mayo need that special forward. They have a special forward. They've the player of the year.
Absolutely. They've got an abundance of special forwards. But imagine Mayo had a player of David Clifford coming through the ranks now and breaking into their...
But does he just take Andy Moran's position or Killian O'Connor's position?
Certainly doesn't. Not on the evidence of last year's performances. Yeah. I think those two players were exceptionally good throughout the championship.
But on a two-man full forward line, which is the way Mayo play, that's what... You know what I mean? Mayo have top-notch players in those positions.
Yeah, and they might not have found anybody in the league last year, but for me, and they didn't find these players, but, you know, Chris Barrett sort of came out. I remember watching him against Derry, but thinking, this boy's doing nothing. Like, he started running around the sweeper role, and then as the season went on, as the games kept coming...
His performance in the All-Ireland final last year was possibly one of the best defensive performances from an individual in terms of timing and tackling that I've ever seen.
Some great turnovers.
And even Jason Doherty, moving him off the wing from doing that sort of donkey role that he was doing with Dermot O'Connor over the years, he's putting him on the 45, winning ball, turning around, and then he was the reason why Andy Moran was so good, and Killian O'Connor, who, by the way, I know we had arguments about him last year, but he's going to be the top scorer of all time by the end of the championship campaign.
You know, I don't believe that he maybe gets the credit that he deserves. I would put Killian O'Connor all day long in the top five forwards in this country.
Yeah.
And because he consistently scores, and you can argue that a lot of them are from Frieza, and so be it, but he's there all the time and he's performing for Mayo, and nearly in every game he's their top scorer. And I would say, if you actually analyse what he gets from play, he would still probably be their top scorer as well.
Yeah. So Donegal, Conan, I don't want to burst your bubble on Donegal being in the league final, but they have Kerry, Dublin, Tyrone and Monaghan away. That ain't an easy, because like, I mean, we know how important home advantage is, and Donegal would be great in Ballybuffet. They have a brilliant record up there, but when you only have three of the four games, they have to win those three games.
Monaghan away wouldn't really be an away game because they'd be that used to travelling the Clones to play Ulster Championship games.
Yeah, but Monaghan hit the league hard. As, like, I mean, we won't talk too much about Monaghan, but like, Monaghan just focus on the league to an extent where they're nearly always safe. You know what I mean? You can almost trust Monaghan in that they'll win the first two or three games when they're at a higher level of fitness than other teams, and you know it'll hit it, and then they'll struggle towards the end when teams catch up with them. So like, I mean, the whole thing is really interesting. But like, I mean, we have to move off Division 1. We'll get some predictions in a little while, because you want to move to Division 2, and like, Division 2 doesn't exactly set my pulse racing, lads. I don't know about you, because obviously for the same reason Galway and Kildare are gone out of it, and you've got Roscommon and Cavan back into it. So Roscommon really are the ones that you'd want to think are going to maybe win this league. Yeah. They've got a lot of lads back. I was looking at actually quotes from the Clare manager Colm Collins, and he says quite easily you could see any of the teams either going up or going down, and that's the reality here. Outside of Roscommon, who kind of stand out to me, I don't see I see all the other seven teams fairly similar level.
I'd still maybe put Cork as second favourites as well. Based on what, and we've often criticised Cork on this particular show, but you know, Division 2, I think when you look at the quality of teams there,
Cork are favourites for it, actually.
They're certainly more than capable of winning the majority of their games in that division.
You are looking at that, like, straight away when I looked at that team, it's not the most exciting Division 2 we've ever seen, but I'm looking, thinking, right, Cork, if they're ever going to get their act together, and it has to be this year, like, we've been hearing about them since 2010, like, if they are ever going to get their shit in order,
that
like
2010 is gone. Like, that team's gone now. Even Cadigan and Shields gone as well. On top of that, that team has just completely gone.
Profile hasn't gone. Like, people still talk about Cork and how like there's more to come from them, and they're being like, the players aren't getting enough out of themselves, the manager isn't getting enough out of the county.
Cork as a team and as a group of players have to take a huge amount of responsibility, and you know, when you look at how they've performed over the last four or five seasons, you know, it's been well under par in comparison to how they should be performing. Yeah. And they have had relative success at underage level, and at some stage you would expect that a level of performance would start filtering through from some of those players, and you would expect to see it, particularly given the fact that they are now Division 2. They're playing a lesser standard of a team than what you would be in Division 1, so it gives them an opportunity to blood some of those players, to establish a way of playing, to establish some confidence amongst the group, and to get performance right, and then therefore get results.
I think I read in some quotes from Dermot Myrtle, as we just want to talk about Roscommon quickly, because the three Daly brothers who dropped off the panel last year, they're all back, all three. All three solid players. Like, I mean, Conor Daly's a really good wing back, and suddenly now they have Conor Daly attacking wing back, Conor Devaney on the other side, two good, really good kind of attacking wing backs, and Sean Malooly in at centre back, good half back line. Like, I mean, Dermot Murta said, if we lost to Mayo, I thought this was a really good point, because often you think the opposite way of this. If we lost to Mayo by a point the first day, it might have been a false sense of hope to where we were actually at. So you can learn a lot from that. Sometimes when Roscommon were hammered, I would often throw out there, geez, if only they were beaten by a point the first day, they might have had more confidence to build on. But he was actually saying the second day was a good wake-up call.
Yeah. Because if they'd lost by a point,
they could have been floating into this year thinking we're one of the big boys.
Yeah.
Where now they were brought down to earth with a bang, and now it's almost humbled them to the point where, lads, we might be Connacht champions, but we have a lot to work on here.
They were brought down to earth with, you know, a performance that was exceptionally good by Mayo.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, and Roscommon's campaign last year overall in the championship particularly, you know, while they didn't set the world alight in the league, their championship performance suggests that, you know, they are a quality team, and they've got quality players coming back into the setup.
Cathal Craig is back this year too.
And they've got a good manager, so they have, who has proven himself now at county level, winning the Connacht title last year. He's proven himself at club level, coming off the back of All-Ireland success. So, you know, they've got the makings of a good setup, a good squad, and they can continue to improve on where they were at last year.
There you go. And Conan, almost the relegation last year is almost a blessing in disguise. Now they're in Division 2, they have loads of players back, They're Connacht champions. Suddenly now there's a bit of momentum building through winning games through the league, and it's a completely different outlook on Roscommon this year compared to where they were at in disarray this time last year.
And listen, they're not going to get relegated, so they don't have to worry about the league necessarily. And yeah, they don't have that point to prove anymore. Like, I know it'd still be good to be in Division 1, but it's not like we need to get to Division 1 this year, we're one of the big boys.
Yeah,
they'll taper along, they've got more players to try out, they'll do that. But I'm just wondering, like, I know Mayo were a funny one because obviously Derry and Cork drew them as well, so it's hard to take much from that. But how far are Roscommon really behind them? I don't think they're as far behind as the second.
Behind who?
Mayo.
Behind Mayo.
Like, I don't think it's that big of a wake up. Yeah, it is. Like, you know, if you want to win championships, you have to compete with these boys like week in, week
out. In Croke Park, they're probably still 6-7 points behind Mayo. In a Connacht championship, they'd probably be closer, I would think.
Listen, every game's different, you know, and that's what we have to take this on. The second day, I don't believe Roscommon played to their full potential, and Mayo just hit one of those purple patches where everything went well for them. You can go to the All-Ireland semi-final in Dublin and Tyrone. We're thrown, you know, so far away from Dublin at that point of the campaign last year that suggests that Dublin are miles ahead of them. I don't believe so. Dublin are the benchmark and they are the best team in the country, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, they humiliated Tyrone last year, and I don't believe that that type of performance would happen quite too often between those two teams playing against each other.
So I don't think so.
You take each game on its own merits, but certainly Roscommon aren't a million miles away from the level that Mayo are at.
No, they're not a million miles away. And Roscommon only have three away games. They have Tip, Loud and Clare. And they're not three bad ones to have to travel to be honest with you. Like, the, you know, Loud and Clare would be two of the weaker teams. So they're getting all the more difficult games at home outside of the Tipperary game. They have to travel to Tip, and Tip are shite at home anyways because Semple State, nobody will go to Semple State. I saw Liam Kearns actually saying they're better away than they are at home, isn't that?
You can say that Louth are one of the weaker teams, but, you know, Drogheda certainly isn't a place that you want to be going to as a county player. And they've got Pete McGrath over them now, and he will have re-energised the Louth team. And, you know, they will be pushing damn hard to gain promotion or get as close to promotion in that Division 2 league this year.
Could Tipperary be a bolter to get up to Division 1?
Yeah, I think they could be. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not unprecedented that you can come up 1-1. Kildare did do it the previous 2 years. Well, they went from Division 3 to Division 1. They have Stephen O'Brien back in midfield. That's a monster of a midfielder, a huge addition to them. They have Pascal Callaghan, who's successful manager with Road and with a team in Meath and Monster Evan in Kildare. So he's like maybe a bit of a new take on things, which Liam Kearns went out and got him. Yeah. I think Tipperary are at the stage now, shit or get off the pot. Like, I mean, you've been in an All-Ireland semi-final last year, in fairness, did a lot of injuries, but they are a solid Division 2 team now, Tipperary are. And if they want to start showing that they're, you know, like, you can't keep talking about Tipperary potentially being a good team. Their age profile is now, you're either that team that you want to be now or else go away and stop talking about having, but you know what I mean? I think they will be realising that. They didn't enter the Munster League. They're really focusing on this league. I think you're right. I think Tipperary will have a really good league.
Well, when you look at the teams in that league, you know, they're certainly in the top three, you know, based on what they've done and with the players that they have over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
you
four favourites.
Roscommon, Cork and Tipperary, for me, are the teams that you would be looking at for early at this stage of the season, promotion.
I would think that as well. Although, like, I mean, Meath haven't been far away in a lot of years. Down in Cavan, you know, it's when you look at, you know, Ulster Championship, and then you're thinking, you know, it's traditionally a strong province, and then you're putting Down in Cavan below Tipperary. You know what I mean? That's just the reality that some Ulster teams have to face now. But it's just going to be a really competitive division. But we're going to move on to your division that interests the two of you fellas here, lads, because it's Division 3. And let's be honest here now, because all three of us were had our heads in the clouds last year when we were talking about our respective counties. And in fairness, Stevie's rallied and he was onto something, and you're the only one that didn't end up looking like a complete blinkered muppet.
Thanks very much for saying that.
Because me and Conan certainly did. Armagh saved you, Stevie, but like, the league didn't go well for them. Don't start talking Armagh up this year. please don't, because Stephen Campbell's gone, Jamie Clark's gone. Good luck. They were the two scoring forwards. Kieran McKeever's gone.
Stephen Campbell didn't play
a large amount of football last year. He should have, though. If he's right, he's on that team. Kieran McKeever, the leader, has gone. You've got Cross McGlenn's James Morgan, you have Paul Hughes, you have Aidan Rush, and you have Oisin O'Neill, who you talked up, are not on the panel. Are Mara favourites for this Division 3?
Paul Hughes is on the panel.
Oh, Paul Hughes is. All right. So that's obviously a fact that was wrong. I don't know where I pulled that out of. But I'm just painting the picture here, Stevie, that I see Fermanagh as favourites for that division. I don't see Armagh. I see Armagh down the list, and I see Armagh in danger of not getting out of that division.
I believe it's going to be tougher this year for them than what it was last year. Division 3 is more probably competitive than what it was last year, but it was their early season form that really let them down and went against them from gaining promotion in Division 3. I'm not going to blow them up, but I still believe that there's enough quality to get them out of Division 3. But I would look at Fermanagh and I believe that they're a decent team. I look at Derry on any given day, I believe that they're a decent team. Sligo, if Sligo's allowed to play football, they always have dangerous forwards. So
Westmead 2 away in that league. Westmead are a solid division.
And Westmead against Armagh last year in the championship, they could have beat them, you know. So it's going to be a tough campaign for Armagh, or for any team, to try to gain promotion, particularly from Armagh point of view, because there's probably more pressure on Armagh than any other team in Division 3 to gain promotion. So it's going to be a tougher campaign for them, simply based on the fact that a lot of people will see them as the favourites, and the teams playing against them will use that to their advantage.
It's actually, do you know what, it's a nightmare of a group to get out of. Let's be honest, Wexford in reality are the only match there you would say, look, we've a good chance of winning that, because no disrespect to Wexford, I can see them going down. But like Armagh, Derry, Fermanagh, Longford away is not easy, Sligo away is not easy, Westmead is not easy. There's a lot of games there where you can easily get tripped. I don't see any huge clear team that is head and shoulder, like that, there's no team in that group that is going to win every game and sail through that division.
Only because no team in that group is really good. Like, you know, it's a tough group. But I remember talking to someone from Westmeath going, geez, really tough Division 3 this year. And then I was like, well, Derry aren't that good, Armagh aren't that good, Westmeath aren't that good. So it's just teams, it's Division 3. Like, that's what it is.
Often you see a team has gone down, like Kildare walked back out of it, you know, in the last couple of years. There's nobody going to be like that. Like, I mean, Fermanagh are hugely interesting this year. Let's focus a little bit on Fermanagh here, because obviously Rory Gallagher is with them. Ricey is his number two, which was an interesting choice, and I don't think Rory Gallagher picked him on a whim. I think Jim McGuinness thought an awful lot about the decision to bring in Rory Gallagher, and Rory Gallagher is a huge thinker of the game, and Ricey has been involved with teams in Tyrone, and Rory Gallagher would have absolutely done his homework on Ricey and what he can bring from a coaching point of view and a number two point of view, and what he's like around the lads. And I saw some quotes from Rory saying that Ricey's an infectious character. He's been a leader on every team he's been on, and he's no different now in management, and he's just almost like the perfect foil for him.
Absolutely. And he is an infectious character, and I have attended many, you know, championship pre-championship talk nights with him, and you can see reasons why Rory Gallagher would have brought him in, and there's no doubt in my mind that Rory had done his homework on Ricey, and if Ricey takes some of his characteristics from his playing days into being a member of a backroom team at a county level, then Fermanagh are going in the right direction. There's no doubt about it. But certainly, you know, from a one-to-one basis, Ricey is actually the type of character that will get inside the head of a player in a different way this time, but really make him believe in himself. So he has actually a good way of talking to people one on one as well, so people won't see that side of him too often. But I do think that it's a good choice from Rory Gallagher as well, and it'll add a different dimension to Fermanagh this year.
And you have a whole load of players back as well. You've got this kind of feel good factor around Fermanagh. So you have Brian Cox, who's back on after a lengthy absence. You have Eamon Maguire, who's been around since 2004. A bit of a live wire forward, not top notch, but like a good forward at Division 3, Division 2 level. And then you have Seamus Quigley, who's a monster of a man back, and he's a scoring machine. He's a brother of Sean Quigley, isn't he? Almost a carbon copy, a little maybe a bit heavier, more burly than Sean. But again, left and right, sensational long range point kicker. You've Tomás Corrigan buzzing in around them. Fermanagh, you've got a midfield of Owen Donnelly and Ryan Jones who can put it up to a lot of teams. And you know with Rory Gallagher's tactics that they'll be solid defensively with a bit of help from a wing forward or two. Suddenly Fermanagh look like a team that
and maybe that could be the reason for the likes of Eamon Maguire coming back into the setup, because he is that type of
link man
that will roam around the place. He's a small character, but he's nippy and he gets in underneath the skin and he picks up break ball and sets up attacks.
Yeah,
you know, so he's and definitely the type of player that they will gel well into Rory Gallagher's system.
If you're isolating two scorers like the two Quigleys and Tomás Corrigan buzzing around them, and you've got the rest of the team defending, that's not a bad start, and a solid good midfield that'll compete with a lot. That's a very, very good starting point for a team.
Yeah, and the thing with Fermanagh, like, normally you wouldn't worry too much from Ulster Championship point of view about Fermanagh, but what they have now compared to, I'd say, especially Derry, is a team that's ready-made. They're all prime-mades, they're ready to go.
Yeah, it just looks like they have the good players in the right positions for Rory Gallagher's, which we kind of have a good idea of what system
is at the right time. Like, it's not a four-year planner. He can go and do something now with him. Like, you know, we could get up to Division 2 straight away, which would be, you know, straight away everyone from Fermanagh be behind him then, because he gets him straight back up.
And also, you know, they have a manager now who has tasted success on a national level, you know, so he's going in to this job, you know, already with the players having huge respect to him as a manager and as a coach, and looking to impress him from the offset. So once you have that there in any particular team, you know, you would expect to get a good reaction from your players.
Any word on Derry, Conan? Come on, sell me Derry.
There's nothing. It's like last year I told you you're going up to Division 1. Now this year
Derry are second favourites, and again I think it's tradition. I don't know what we're basing this on.
Derry is the same as Cork. Like, people just assume that they're decent teams.
Are there a lot of these good traditional counties now just falling by the wayside, lads? So, like, you mean you look at Cork, you look at Derry, you look at like Meath, you look at Armagh, like all big huge names that we've grown up knowing these are challengers, and it's very hard for us mentally to separate these. They're not challengers anymore. Like, they're average Division 2, Division 3 teams now, and it's very hard to get your head around this.
And like, even just in the last couple of years, the names like the Derry have lost and nowhere near replacing them, like Fergal Doherty and Patsy Bradley, the two Bradleys in sight. Like, you know, they're losing big names every year. The story was this year that Lynch is staying on, Mark Lynch, and I looked and it was only 31, and I was like, Jesus Christ, at the level now we're saying the boys are staying on. Like,
he's been around so long.
I looked at the squad list, it's a pile of young lads, like decent players, but you know, it's a long way to go for them.
Like, how many Slapneil lads will get in there now off that, lads? Like, you'd imagine when they come in, you should have five fellas there that are used
to
winning.
McHiggs, they'll certainly slot in.
Two McHiggs will get on. You'll have...
And Rodgers. Like, that's Rogers, the defence, more or less. Like,
yeah. And then, or obviously, Bradley's not... He's retired. But up front, you've got the Chris Bradley.
He's not in the squad, though.
He should be in there.
Yeah, he should be. He was a couple of years ago. I don't know if he enjoyed it or not. He just never really became a Derry player.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the likes of Derry, Armagh, Meath, teams like that there now, a lot of the time when people have conversations about these counties nowadays, they try to, you know, gauge them on teams from previous eras.
Yeah.
And it's unfair. The game has changed. Different calibre of players, different style of players, different ways of playing, and you have to judge them on their own merits. And yes, while they're probably not at the same level as what the players were on the years gone by, you know, you have to give them an opportunity as well. And I think the likes of Derry and Armagh players now have to grasp an opportunity to make, I suppose, and create their own legacy when they're playing for their county teams.
Yeah, and just on Cork, as I said, based on what they obviously had that good performance against Mayo, but like Derry nearly beat Mayo. Like, I mean, a lot of teams have nearly caught Mayo. Clare nearly caught, you know, did really well up at half time. Like, I mean, Cork were a nightmare in the championship last year. Like, they should have been beaten by Waterford. They should have been beaten by Tipperary. They've just been terrible for too long for me to ever be start tipping them at this stage. Division 4, lads, this is the big one. This is where it's all. A nation is going to hold its breath as to who's going to get out of this. Now, I have to be very, very careful about this, but lads, Leash have to get out of this division, and they will get out of this division. They're too bloody good. Sugru is a good manager. Sugru is a weird one, lads, here with Leash, because Sugru was a physio for 2 years under Justin McNulty. So the advantage Sugru has over other managers coming in is he knows the Leash lads. He knows how to think. He knows what they were bitching about. You know, a physio is in on all the bitching. Mm-hmm. He knows. You don't have to worry about your bitching with the physio, because most physios, one of the strongest qualities any physio will ever have is that they're a good listener and that they don't get involved in politics. Everything just goes in. They don't. They're completely out of all this. They'll just listen to you vent. The amount of venting I've done on a treatment table, it's just you and the physio, and you've it's just a nice sounding board to go off. Oh, I'm not playing well, or you know, just loads of, not just bitching about other people, but talking about yourself. And I can't get back into it. It's almost like being in a shrink's chair, in a weird way. Well, that's how I used to use it, honestly.
Use that to the maximum.
So he's had 2 years of knowing who the problem lads are, who the good lads are, who the leaders are. So he's got a huge advantage. He's been almost had a spy on the wall view of the Leash dressing room for 2 years, come out of it, and now he's back in there, won a Kerry championship with one of South Kerry, and the players like him. He trained up with us with Portlaoise when we were going well around 2004. He's a good trainer. He's like a physio, like I said. He has them training like flat out since early, 5-6 days a week in November, December, to get out of this division. They'll get out of division, lads. They just will. They just will. Only because there's just not any strength in that division. Oh. Outside of I think Leash play Carlow in the last game, and that's in Carlow. And that's going to be a huge, huge game in this division, because I think Carlow are the other team. I know Antrim are second favourites, but I think Carlow are a team that Leash need to be concerned about in this division. And I can see Leash being on full points going into that last game. Hopefully they're qualified already.
That'll just be a case of Kildare Galway last year. I think both of those teams will already be in the final. They'll be playing each other the next week, so that game won't matter anymore. I can see them all having won all the games.
I still believe Antrim will have a say on it.
Leash have Antrim at home, you see, so that's Antrim coming down that long way to Leash. That's
but
why I'm not
they have a new manager, Lenny Harbinson, once again a proven All Ireland winning club manager. You know, he'll bring something new to the party this year. I think there's a few players back in their setup as well, so they will be pushing hard to gain promotion. Wicklow as well, you just don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to perform. But listen, there's no doubt about it. For me, favourites have got to be Leash. Carlow on their record from last year in the championship and making life difficult for their opponents will certainly be there or thereabouts as well. But I wouldn't be ruling out Antrim.
A lot of the talk with Leash this year is that obviously for a lot of years there was all the talk that Portlaoise don't have enough lads on the squad. There's a panel of 41 now, and I think there's 10 or 11 Portlaoise lads on it, which, you know, it looks great, it sounds great in theory. Now, I don't see any of those 10 or 11 lads being that many of them being starters. Paul Cahillane is back in this year. Now, he is a definite potential starter. Brian Glynn, who didn't even play for Portlaoise last year, he's a physio in Liverpool. He's a great option for a wing forward spot, one of those working positions. Then you've got Kieran Lillis, you've got Garrett Dillon, Graham Brody. So you could have 4 or 5 Portlaoise lads potentially on it, but to say there's 10, you know what I mean? Yeah. It sounds different than it is. The other 5 are in there probably for experience, and that would be about it. But like, I mean, it does look good that Leash have most fellas. Conor Meredith should be in there, and he's stepped away from the panel. Kevin Meaney has retired. Cater Healy's with the hurlers. Outside of that, you've got most of the lads that, you know, you kind of want to have in there, and at least just have to get out of that division. Carlow, on the other hand, there seems to be a real feel-good factor around Carlow. And you know what I always find gas about Carlow is that the last year was such a brilliant year for Carlow football, and it was like they won 3 championship games for the first time in 73 years. What 3 teams did they beat?
Division 4 teams.
Yeah. Teams at their own bloody level. Now, I know they got the glamour game against Dublin and keep talking about that. They were beaten well by Dublin, and that's a lovely thing for them. And they performed really well against Monaghan at home, and maybe that's what they're clinging on to. Yeah. But let's be honest, Carlow, you had the best championship in 73 years because you beat 3 teams at your same level. If that's not an argument to say, and Carlow will be one of the counties, and Turlough O'Brien, who's doing a great job, and Poacher's doing a great job there, they would be of the ones, so we don't want to play at our own level. Mate, that's how you had such a great championship. Isn't it a weird one? But another point on Wexford or Carlow is that I think it was great to see, and they're really trying to kind of develop the game in Carlow, and they had an open training session before Christmas with the Carlow senior team, with all the young people from the county able to get on the field and talk to them and have all the, so like they're really trying to harness this feel good factor around Carlow. It's a beautiful thing to see, and it's great to see, because we slagged off Poacher at the start of the show, and like Poacher's a huge part of that, and I would say that was Poacher's idea potentially to have this open training session and get all this. And Turlough O'Brien is a good manager as well. And like, if every weaker county had the likes of a Stephen Poacher and a Turlough O'Brien, look what you can do. Look what you can do when you just like put in that effort. Now, I know they're going to be playing poxy defensive football. That's what Poacher coaches. And that style of football is gone out of date. But it's not gone out of date at Division 4 because the managers in Division 4 aren't sophisticated enough. So you can hit these lads on the break. You won't catch some of the stronger teams out with those tactics. I think.
I wouldn't say the managers aren't sophisticated enough. You know,
they're not as sophisticated though.
But listen, there is a feel-good factor about Carlow. Regardless of the teams that they beat last year in the Championship, they still, you know, put in their best Championship campaign in 73 years. So therefore, it's going to generate a good feel-good factor regardless. And a county like Carlow, who has maybe done that there, has to live off it the following year as well. And by having open training sessions is certainly a good idea and a way of attracting more supporters towards the team as well. And, you know, they have maybe a wee bit to live up to this year. They're going to be under a wee bit more pressure. They are one of the favourites to come out of Division 4. How can they cope with that pressure? Because they were going into most games last year as underdogs, so it's easier going in as an underdog sometimes than what it is going in as favourites. So it'll be interesting to see how to cope with that pressure. Yes, they'll be still structurally set up defensively, you know, but can they add an attacking impetus to their style of play as well? And if they can do that, then they might be able to bring their game to another level. But it'll be interesting to see if they want to do that, and I can't see that they will.
Yeah, and there's no, the reason I said the managers in Division 4 aren't sophisticated enough, none of them will know what a triple transition triple transition scoring game is, so they're completely bamboozled. Right, listen, we have to leave it there, lads. We've got overtime. We'll be back here with predictions.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D, we're at home by where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient. But this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground, and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around it. But you're looking at me. You're
well,
looking
out
at me.
Of a crowded area, isn't it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
All right, lads, predictions. First, we're going to do predictions on how we see the whole league going, which was a little bit of a disaster for us all last year. Conan snuck it ahead of you, Stevie, didn't he? Just on the last day after the league final.
I'm not sure. Yeah. We should have maybe put it more on record. But
okay. Well, this year we're tracking the whole thing. So yeah, we're going to do all our predictions online of every game, and we are going to keep a league table. So we've tweeted out details of that from the Twitter account at the GAR, and you can go online, register your predictions every week, and we'll track it on a league table. So go to the Twitter account if you want to do that. You can take on Stevie, myself and Conan, which isn't all that hard to do, let's be honest about it. Right, so we go Division 1, lads, winners and relegation. So Conan, we'll start with you.
Dublin to win.
Putting your neck out there.
And Jesus, Galway, and I'm going to say Monaghan to get relegated.
Galway, Monaghan to get relegated. Okay, right, Dublin. Okay, Stevie.
Okay, it's hard to look past Dublin to win. Yeah, again, and I'm going to go for relegation, Kildare and Monaghan.
Kildare and Monaghan. Okay, right, see the way I'm kind of stalling here by repeating what you say.
What do you lads think?
Alright, listen, well, let's be honest, I'm going to go for Dublin to win it. You'd want to be crazy not to go for them. And I might go for Mayo. They've flirted with relegation too many times, and according to Chris Barrett, they're gone for the league, and I'll throw Kildare into the mix with them.
Why would Chris Barrett lie to you?
Why would Chris Barrett? I wasn't going to pick Mayo until I read Chris Barrett's quote.
Sorry, Mayo and who?
Mayo and Kildare to go down. Right, Division 2, Conan, let's start with you.
Oh yeah, going to go with Cork and Tipperary to get promoted. Cork to win the whole thing. And then to get relegated, I'm going to go with Clare and Louth.
Clare and Louth to go down. Alright, okay. Stevie, what do you think?
For promotion, I'm going to go with Roscommon and Tipperary. And I think Roscommon may just win it. For relegation, I'm going to go with Clare and Louth.
Clare and Louth as well. So there's two for Clare and Louth. I'm going to go with Roscommon and Meath. Meath just to tip Tipperary. I don't think Cork are going to be in the shake-up, lads. I don't think they will be in the shake-up. And to go down, which is a pretty interesting one, I think we'll all have to go with the ones you've gone for here, lads, the Clare and Louth. I think they'll probably go down in that one. Division 3, Conan.
I'm going to go with Derry to get promoted.
What did I say about the blinkers?
I'm going to go Derry and Armagh. I still remember, even though I think Derry's squad is pretty bad at the minute.
After all the talk of Fermanagh, have I not convinced you on Fermanagh here?
No. I never grew up fearing Fermanagh, so I think Derry will have enough to see them out. I still remember Kieran McGeaney in one of the live shows that we had saying to you that the step up between club and county isn't that big, and when you have good club players, it's getting that into their heads that they have to believe that they can play at this level. And I saw enough.
Yeah, but
Derry
aren't going to have Slochneil until the 70. Who are they playing in the semi final?
Nemo Rangers.
Nemo. They'll beat Nemo Rangers, right? And then they'll be until March 17th. And then you have to give them a week or two off to get out of their heads whether they win or lose. So you might not have Slochneil for the whole league.
Young blood just running at them.
There's no turning you. Right, so come on, because we're going out of time. So you've got Derry and Armagh, right?
Derry and Armagh.
The bookies are never wrong. They're the two favourites.
Yeah.
And to go down?
Offaly and Wexford.
Okay, grand. They're the two favourites to go down as well.
Yeah.
So Stevie,
yeah, blind. Well, I'm going to go with Fermanagh and Armagh for promotion, and it's not because it's my own county. I do believe that they are the two best teams in the league, and Offaly and Wexford once again. So I'm not swaying too far away from you there, Colin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to throw a spanner in the works here again. I'm going to go for Fermanagh and Westmeath to go up.
And such a hipster, isn't it?
And I'm going to go for Offaly and Wexford. I'll move away from the hipster. I'll come back down to the earth. I'll go with Offaly and Wexford to go down. Right, Division 4.
Cardo and Laois. I think Laois won the whole thing, but Cardo will go up with them.
And that's really it. There's no relegation there.
Yeah. I think Laois will win it. But for me, it's a toss of a coin between Antrim and Cardo. I think Antrim will be more attack minded, which might generate them more points on the board, so I'll just slightly go for Antrim.
Right, okay, and I will go for same as Conan, Carlow and Laois, so the two neighbouring counties. So now, that's it, lads. And this, obviously last year we got so many wrong, we're probably going to go the same again this year. Quickly, lads, we'll do an accumulator for this weekend. Again, if you want all our predictions, you have to go online and we can compare them all when we get that league table up and running. So go to the Twitter account at the GAA Hour. So Conan, give us your accumulator for the weekend.
Four teams: Dublin to beat Kildare, Donegal to beat Kerry away, that's the one that's going to bring the odds up, and then it's just all bankers. Laois to beat Limerick and Armagh to beat Sligo. You might not say it's a banker, Stevie, but I think well, that's over 71 for that.
Yeah, over 71, okay, that's decent.
Donegal Kerry
is the rabbit out of the hat.
And interestingly enough, I've also gone for Donegal as well, travelling down. I think Donegal in itself were 5-2. So Donegal is my choice in Division 1. Division 2, I'm going for Roscommon to beat Meath. In Division 3, I'm staying close to home. I'm going to go for Armagh with home advantage to beat Sligo. And in Division 4, Antrim to get off the winning start against Leitrim. So overall, that's coming up to almost 11-1.
All right, very good. So you've picked one out of each division. Is that how you...
One from each division,
All right, okay. So you've really messed me around here. So I'll go from Division 1, I'll go Monaghan to beat Mayo. I'm really ruling out Mayo here completely, the relegation fodder this year, but still all Ireland contenders. Division 2, I have Tipperary written down here, lads. Who do they play? I don't have it here.
Cork.
They play Cork away. So Donegal. That's my Donegal. If you're going to be consistent about this, and I've talked Cork down and Tipperary up, I have to put
that's
my money
Saturday here. Match your bet could be gone on
this
Saturday
night.
Yeah, so then in Division 3, I'm going to go for Fermanagh to beat Wexford. That's probably the banker. And in Division 4, then we will go for Antrim to beat Leitrim. And that's fair enough. That's it. So that's all we have time for this week, lads. league preview, the difficult one is over. So it's all plain sailing after this, lads. Finally, next week, we'll have something to go on with our predictions. Like a decent game to go on. All we have now is cup matches in each province that we didn't really watch. And we actually didn't even talk about Tyrone. And I actually messaged Philip Jordan the other day to ask him, what's going on with Tyrone? I haven't seen them. Are we going to see it, like in the McKenna Cup, have we seen any new change? Have we seen any influence from Stevie O'Neill? Have we seen them move away from this one forward and everybody back? And he says he hasn't seen them, but he says the talk around Tyrone is that they haven't. They've gone with two forwards, he said. So, like, I mean,
I'm
stupid that we actually didn't talk about Tyrone, because they're really interesting. Maybe we'll focus on them a little bit more next Thursday or on Monday, because, like, I mean, they have to move away from that. And what's the point in having Stevie O'Neill in there? He's a forwards coach. How can he coach the forwards if five of them are back in the backs? Do you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, getting him in is a waste of time unless Tyrone are going to change their outlook. And that's why I was trying to find out, are they changing their outlook? But look, that's loads of stuff that we can talk about next week. All right, that's all we have time for. No good problem. Luck.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.